God loves you. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. He said, Our Father. Which means it's a corporate Father. Amen. If you're in church today and you say, Hans, I need a touch from heaven, I want to invite you to come and we'll pray with you. If you're sick in your bodies, for pain in your backs, and you need a touch from heaven, I want to pray for you. Got any word of knowledge, Paul? Okay. Hello, Jesus. Yes. All right. Somebody want to come and help me pray for Bud and his back? Praise Jesus. Anybody else? I believe that God has a word for me. For me. Not me, but you. You're me. Praise God. Some people started leaving. I was wondering whether I had said something or what. Well, here is here's the word from John chapter 15. Remain in his love. As the Father... Okay, how about we read it together? Is that okay? As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Also in John 14, I think it is. Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them and will come to them and make our home with them. Now, my friends, I have said many times that God's love is a gapy love. How many have heard that? There's four different Greek words, at least, that I know of. And one of them is for love, and one of them is a gapy love. And I have shared this many times and said, that's unconditional love. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, whosoever believes shall not perish but have eternal life. That is agape love. But here it seems like that love is conditional. If you obey my teaching, if you obey my commandments, then you remain in me. So what is this all about? Remember, there is a tree called the vine, and you are the branches. So I want to share with you how I believe that it's not God's love that changes, but it is our response to his love that changes. It is his, I don't know if you read this chapter, and read if you read John, 1 John chapter 4, 1 John chapter 3, it comes down to one thing, and it's called love. So the question is, how can it be unconditional love? And yet, it seemed like he's asking us to obey the commandments. And also, he says, the commandment is, what is his commandment? Love one another. And in Matthew 22, it says, love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And love your neighbor as you love your self. So here I want to illustrate it, what I think it means. How do we obey his commands and abide in his love? When I tell to my wife, I said, I love you, honey. Then how she's going to respond? I love you back. Which she often does. But sometimes she doesn't. She doesn't know where this is going. I got her attention, I tell you that much. What she says is, why? Why do you love me? And at that moment, I'm scratching my brain quickly, because there are certain answers that are not really good answers. Such as, you know, I really like your cooking. That's not a good answer. Because what if the cooking wasn't so good that day? Does that mean I don't like her? No, I still love her. What if I say, honey, I love you because you are so amazingly good looking? Well, that's not bad. But what if it's 4 o'clock in the morning and she's not that good looking on that 4 o'clock in the morning? That doesn't mean I still don't love her. So, but if I say to her, I love you because you love me. Well, that's good, but that's still somewhat conditional. However, here guys, I just want to give you some clues. If I say, I love your heart is radiant with the love of God. You are uniquely chosen by God. There is something special about you. Now I'm getting somewhere. I see some of you nodding your heads. Now I'm getting somewhere. My friends, when it comes to remaining in the love of your wife, it's important that you connect with her heart. When it comes to connecting with the love of God, the Father, it's important you connect on a heart level. How many believe that's true? But it's not easy. But it's very true. How many believe that when you worship, praise the Lord, and you sing to him from the bottom of your heart, that you open your heart? And you know what the Bible says? Sing to one another with hymns, spiritual songs, and how does that go? Psalms and hymns. I sing to you, dear. I love you. That's opening your heart. Now, sometimes there's a fight. That's a real fight because of the circumstances you go through. Some of you can come on Sunday morning and you can say, I love you, Jesus. But Monday morning and your tire's flat and your wife is grumpy and everything's going wrong, it's hard to praise him. I want to give you one example of a man who was exposed to a tremendous trial. And yet he had to press through. How many have ever heard of Terry Law? He was one of the first pastors of this church in Hatton Hills. And he was a young, we believe he was a youth pastor at First Assembly in Manhattan. He came to the Hatton Hills to help start this church. And he felt called to Royal Roberts University. In fact, one of Maddie's relatives paid his way because God told him to. He started a ministry, and he started a ministry evangelizing. And one day he was in England, and he was ministering in England, and he got a phone call in early morning that his wife had been killed in a car accident in Utah. Now, that moment is not time for your praise. It's not time when you really feel the love of God. And so on the way home in the plane, he was angry at God. He said, I have done all this for you. I have served you. I don't know how I could ever have my ministry back. I don't know how I can love you, God. I mean, I can understand how that would feel. He came to Utah, met with his kids, and they had a funeral. And Old Roberts, who was his mentor, called him and said, come. Old Roberts had also himself lost a son to a tragic accident. And so he knew the pain. And he prayed with him and loved him. Then this is what Old Roberts did. He stood up one day. Remember, you abide, you remain in his love because you obey his commands. Did I read that? When you obey his commands, you remain in his love. Or Roberts, and that command can be what God tells you to do now. How many believe that God can tell you to do something now? So, Or Roberts said, to Terry Law, go home and praise Jesus. That was counterintuitive. That was not what he felt like. He went home in obedience to what he believed that God was telling him to do. Sometimes God can use another human being to tell you what you need to do now. How many believe that's true? Even a pastor or your wife. My wife smiles. And he remembered the scripture in Psalm 34. It says, I will praise him at all times. I'll extol him at all times. The praises will always be on my lips. And so he began, I praise you, Jesus. He felt nothing. He tried again, I praise you, Jesus. And he went on for an hour. How many would have given up after an hour? But he continued and says, Lord, I praise you. 2 hours. I praise you, Jesus. 3 hours. I would have given up by now. 4th hour, I praise you, Jesus. On the 4th hour, the Holy Spirit broke through. And he began to feel a tremendous cleansing of all the bitterness, all the unforgiveness, all the anger against God, and peace of God. He felt, do you know what he felt? He felt the love of God. It says in Romans 5, I think it's 5:5. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been what? Being poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. The Holy Spirit got poured into him. You know, when the Holy Spirit be poured into him, you experience the love of the Father. He went and was now able to deal. He was actually able to go back to ministry. And this is what God said. I wanted to bring this message to the world. And he started a band called The Sound of Life, I think it's called. Living Sound. It's close. And he brought that music of praising God to the countries like Russia and Afghanistan and places that was closed to the gospel. In fact, there's a funny story of how he was invited to Moscow to provide this music. And they thought it was a rock band. And he was in a bar. And he was beginning to sing worship songs and giving testimonies. And what did he call? The secret police took him downstairs in the basement and was going to arrest him. And he was able to share the gospel. And they let him finish his program. But many of them got saved in that. But they was completely undercover. So I just want to share you that. And I want to share you this. Sometimes, my friends, what you need to do to remain in his love is contrary to what you feel. Sometimes people tell me, I was so depressed, I don't want to go to church. Sometimes, my friends, that's exactly what you need to do. I feel so discouraged, I don't know if I can face church. My friends, maybe that's exactly what you need to do. How many got discouraged through those doors? And by the time you left, you felt encouraged. I have. I felt encouraged in the worship. Never mind my sermon. So here's my point. If you're going to remain in His, going to abide in Him or remain in His love, my friends, number one, you're going to have to open your heart. Jesus tells the story. He tells the story of this man who has two sons. Remember the story? And the son, the youngest, asks the father for inheritance, and he takes the inheritance, and he goes and he blows it on prostitution, and he blows it on wine and drink, until he loses it all, and there's drought in the land, and he's not sure what to do, and he comes to his senses that he has hurt God, he has hurt his father, and he goes back to his father. And there's a beautiful picture. And Jesus tells the story because he tells the story because that's God the Father. And he sees the Father, he runs towards him. He says, by the way, he's still a long ways off. His father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. And he ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. There is an amazing embrace of the father. My friends, what is he doing here? What is God doing? He's saying, my son, I know what you did. But now that you have opened your heart to me, I'm more than willing to put my mercy and my grace and say, you are a chosen, you are mine. My friends, one of the ways you enter up into the presence of the living God and abide in His presence is when you are willing to repent of the things that has held you back. Thank you. Before I continue with that story, I want to tell you another story. How many have ever heard of Ronald Reagan? He's the four presidents back somewhere. He had an adopted son. How many knows that? His name was Michael. He wrote a book called Twice Adopted. He's adopted by Ronald Reagan and Nancy. His mother, Nancy, said to him often, you are very special, Michael. But when he went to school one day, I think it was grade 5, he said to a friend, I'm special. And the friend said, no, you are legitimate, a legitimate child. You are a bastard, Reagan. And then he went back and looked in the Bible to see where it's talked about it being legitimate. And I'm not exactly sure where he found it, but somewhere he got the message that if you're legitimate, you cannot be part of the kingdom. Somehow he got, how many knows the enemy can really twist things when you're offended and hurt? He closed the Bible when he was, I just want to make one clear thing clear first before I go on. In the eyes of God, there is not a single illegitimate child. Maybe legitimate parents, but not illegitimate children, ever. So he closed his Bible and didn't read it for another 25 years. In the meantime, they've moved to another school, and there's a man who actually is a pedophile and takes advantage of this boy. He's sexually abused. Now things are going from bad to worse. And he's angry. He's so angry at the world that one day took a sledgehammer and he hit his Oldsmobile because it wouldn't start. I mean, no, that's not a good thing to do to a car when it won't start. Anger came out of him. Resentfulness came out of him. Then he got married to Colleen, a Christian woman. They got two children. And one day he was expressing anger towards one of his children. And his wife, Colleen, walked in and said, "What are you doing?" And he couldn't answer. He said, and she said, "I am so sick and tired of you, Michael, blaming God, being angry at God, cursing God, that I think you better start asking him for help." And so he knelt for the first time for many, many years. He knelt by the bed and said, "Lord, I need your guidance." And he began to have a revelation of Jesus. He then, a year or so later, was asked to write a book. He's famous, right? He's the son of Reagan and Nancy. He was writing a book about them. So money involved. So he said, okay. So he started writing down 30 pages, blaming Ronald and Nancy for all his problems. And God said, "It's all a lie. That's not true." How many knows that often when we try to blame other people, we are putting the blame in places that they don't belong. Then he realized that if he was going to write this book, he had to tell his parents and his wife what had happened to him. See, he believed another lie that I've seen many times in the church. That because of the abuse and the shame, if I ever told somebody, they would not like me. They would hate me. How many has ever come across that beliefs? How many believe that when it's in the darkness, the enemy has power? His heart was closed towards his... If your heart is closed to God, it is also closed to one another. It's also closed to your parents, to your wife. So he says to his wife, "Colleen, I want to tell you what happened to me." And against all fears, she embraced him and loved him with the love of God and said, "Now I understand some of your behavior." He goes to Ronald Reagan, the cowboy, and tells him what happened. He says, "Where is this guy? I want to kick him." And he realized that his parents didn't reject him or shamed him or guilt him, but embraced him with the love of the Father. And it began a completely different journey for him. He says, "When I was a child, I thought I was a throwaway. I thought I was a throwaway. But now that I'm a child of God, I know I'm chosen. I know that when my mom and dad adopted me, they chose me. And when God found me, he chose me." What does it mean to be chosen? We just read in the scripture, John 15, "You didn't choose me, I chose you." What does it mean to be chosen? It means that you are special. There's no one like you. It means that I have paid a price for you. You belong to me. I honor you. I'm setting you apart for eternity to be my son and to be my daughter. That's what it means. I have adopted you because I wanted to, because I love you. I'm speaking that because there is a need in every human being to know that they are unconditionally loved. There's no other greater need than that. It says in Psalm 22:9. Do you mind finding that? Psalm 22:9. It's coming. "Yet you brought me out of the womb. You made me trust in you, even at my mother's breast. From birth I was cast on you. From my mother's womb you have been my God." There is a place on the breast of a mother where trust comes. But what if that didn't happen? God can still be the one who nurtures you into a place of healing and wholeness. Amen? How many believes that is true? So, what is God the Father doing to this young son who comes home He's embracing him. He's not shaming him. He's not guilting him. He's just so happy that he's home. My son was lost, but now he's found, and he embraces him and extends mercy and grace and restore his identity, his destiny. There's a party. There's a celebration. Then there is another son. How many remember that's an older son? He's out in the field. And out in the field, he hears something is going on, and he comes and asks the servant, what's going on? And he said, your youngest brother has come home, and there's a celebration. So he called one of the, okay. So his father went out and pleaded with him. No, it's good. So he called one of the servants, your brother has come, replied, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he is back in safe sound. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. I also see this in the Christian church. Why is he angry? Can I just say something? If you are remaining in the heart and the love of God, you're not angry or offended when it's not fair. Because his love is not about fairness. His love is about intimacy with God. This man is angry. Because it's not fair. How many can see it's not fair? There is a fairness that we look for, but when it comes to relationships with God, that fairness is not about that. It is about that nurturing love that comes from mom or dad to a child. So he's angry, and this is what he says, the next part. All these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. I never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. What are you saying? I have done all this. I deserve. When your heart is not remaining in his love, you believe that relationship to God is something about what you earn. I have served all these years and nobody even gave me a thanks. How many have ever been there where you think, man, I deserve better than this? I have. I have talked to God like that. I said, God, I labored. I pleaded with you. And the church is still growing. But it's growing other places. God. But it's not about that. It's not about me. It's about his love for me. And this older brother, his relationship to God was, if I serve you, if I do the right things, somehow you owe me. Do you know eternal life doesn't come because you have served God, because you have prayed so many prayers, because you have fasted and tithed and done all these things? Do you know that's not how it happens? It's because of his love for you. Now, and this is what I want to end with. When I abide in her love, I want to please her. When you remain in God's love, you want to please him. Not because you earn something. Not because you somehow he owes you something. Because I can somehow plead with him and he has to give it to me. But because I love him. My wife feels loved when I take out the trash. When I fill the gas with the car with the gas, when I wash the bathroom. She loves that. So if I really love her, wouldn't I do it? Wouldn't I do it? Doesn't the Bible says that love comes from actions? So my friends, when I am in remaining in his love, I want to love God in a way that he wants to be loved. Amen. And sometimes it means pressing through, but it always means this one thing. It means opening your heart to God. And let Him guide and lead you to a more intimate place with Him. The older brother did not have that intimate place in the heart of the Father. It happened the moment. It happened the moment the younger brother opened his heart. Amen. So let's stand. So Father, I thank You that You have made a way for each and every one of us to remain in Your love. And Lord, there's times where we need to fight for that. So God, I pray, Lord, that You will show us how to fight for that. Sometimes we need to go against our feelings, to go against our intuition, God. And praise You. Offer up a sacrifice of praise. But in every case, God, we need to open our hearts to You and share with You where we're at in our struggles, that You may pour in Your love. So, Father, I pray You will show us and teach us how to do that. That we'll walk not in our own strength, but walk in Your love. And, Father, we become instruments of Your love to the broken and the hurting people around us. Father, the church suffers so much from offense and hurt feelings. That, Lord, it is hard to see Your love. But I pray, Father, that You'll break that off us and walk in Your amazing love. We love because You first loved us. And this is love that Jesus Christ laid down His life for us, paid a price for us. Break, Father, off all these generational curses where children have not been loved, not been affirmed, not being chosen, not being feeling special and precious. I pray for another generation to rise up who can love their children as God loved them. Thank You, Jesus. May Your kingdom come, Lord, in our relationships, in our church as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name. And wash away all our offenses. And maybe be as bold as Michael to bring out the pain of the past and leave it in Your hands. Thank You, Jesus. Amen.